This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
And welcome to 7-5 Radio. I'm Peter Stanton with Walter Yerkew. How are we doing today, Walter?
Oh, very well, my friend. Very well. How are you?
I'm doing good myself. Walt, get a little close to your microphone or whatever you're speaking into, your telephone, your tablet, or your Commodore 64. We're having a hard time hearing you here in D.C. in home studio. But anyways, Walter, first thing we always do is remember fallen law enforcement officers killed in line of duty or murdered in line of duty. First, we want to remember Deputy Sheriff Jacob Keltner of the McHenry County, Illinois Sheriff's Office, end of watch March 7th, 2019. Deputy Keltner was part of a fugitive task force with the U.S. Marshals attempting to arrest a perpetrator. He was shot and killed, but his perpetrator is in custody. Also, police officer Nathan Heidelberg of the Midland, Texas Police Department, end of watch, May 5th, 2019. He was shot by a homeowner while responding to a burglary alarm. The homeowner was arrested and charged with manslaughter. And the list just unfortunately keeps growing and growing. But anyways, Walt, as you know, last week I was broadcasting from the radio row at CPAC using a telephone. I went there Thursday where we recorded the show, and Friday. So anyways, I want to talk about the things I saw, things I didn't see, and the things I should have seen. As y'all know, last week CPAC gave me a press credential, and why not? I've been on FCC licensed radio for over 12 years with the political cesspool. I have hosted not one but two radio shows on this fine radio network. And my co-host is a star of a documentary movie that's worldwide known. Also, we've interviewed best-selling authors and other notable personalities. Not to mention my sacrifices for the cause of patriotism and the conservative movement. So, anyways, luckily I got a media pass. And here are some of the good points. First off, Donald Trump's two-hour-plus speech referencing jobs, borders, a strong military. Unfortunately, he still wants to bring in legal immigrants. But anyways, can't be perfect. His speech is almost a church sermon. Also was good was Vice President Mike Pence. He spoke more like a politician than his boss, but he mentioned the lack of respect for the men and women in blue. Rick Harrison from the TV show Pawn Stars, he spoke about his involvement in government health care while his father was in the U.S. Navy. I can tell you as a Navy vet, the health care that our men and women receive is not the best. And he also has three simple rules for success. You know, stay in school, get a job, and wait till you're married to have kids, which doesn't cost anything to put out there. Also, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, he used to be a crack addict. Now he's a millionaire and gave an inspirational story and mentioned Jesus Christ numerous times. Also, Andrew Wilkow, of course, who was on our show last week as a guest. We still thank him for his time. Also, Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw, he's a retired Navy SEAL who has an eye patch over his eye. He's also a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Texas, lucky for them. Radio Row is huge this year. Usually it just covers just a little bit of real estate. This time it went on and on and on. I saw Sirius XM, The Blaze, WMAL here in D.C., which is owned by Cumulus Media, which will not put on Michael Savage. The Daily Caller, The Answer, which is another radio network, conservative radio network, and other media outlets. Conspicuously absent was CNN, MSNBC, and Facebook. I don't know if they were denied media access or just did not want to come, But I know if CNN showed up, they would have been booed out of the convention center. And anyways, David Webb, he was there. He was a speaker. But he was really on fire as a radio show. He calls out the race hustlers using appropriate language on non-regulated airways. Mr. Wilkow refuses to use any type of four-letter words. Mr. Webb, on the other hand, he's not afraid to let it fly, including N-bombs. Also missing this year was the idiots who dress up like Paul Revere, the Statue of Liberty, and other yahoos. I don't know if CPAC's in those stupid costumes or they just didn't want to come up. But also missing is the former sheriff who...
Let me interject.
Go ahead.
There wasn't no costumes made out of into the JJs or anything running around?
No.
Nobody had all that? Okay. All right, just checking.
No, but at CPAC, you always have some guy dressed up as Paul Revere or George Washington, and the cameras flock to him since he's he just looks like an idiot. I mean, everybody else is wearing suits and ties, and this guy's dressed up as Paul Revere. Also, there's a former sheriff with a 10-gallon hat from always on the. He had a coat with the words "Ask me about legalizing drugs" on it. This year, I was really looking for him because I would have loved to have him talk to you about the what really goes on with the drug market in the inner cities. Also, I saw a lot of wheeling and dealing going on, and I could have spent all my time sitting there talking to other media outlets and so on and so forth, getting booking guests, being a guest, right. Talking about maybe carrying the show in other outlets. But you know what? I had a job to do, so I didn't really spend too much time talking to other media personalities. Although I did say hi to Mike Gallagher, who's been on this radio for years and years. Also, not there at CPAC was the LGBTQ, MTA, NYC. The Alphabet Mafia had no place at CPAC. You didn't see any 300-pound drag queens demand to be accepted, although there's the Log Cabin Republicans that were there, but they were incognito. If right. someone came up to me and said they were part of the Log Cabin Republicans, I was like, huh? And now for the bad, what I saw at CPAC. First of all, the cost. The venue is held at the Gaylord Convention Center at National Harbor. It's a beautiful venue. It's super expensive. But needless to say, there's not a lot of working class there. Even the student pass was not cheap. But if you did cough up $5,000 to $15,000, you can meet most of the CPAC speakers back in the green room. And, of course, CPAC is put on by the American Conservative Union, and American Conservative Union boss Matt Schlepp said that he was holding CPAC conventions in Australia and Japan, and to contact him if you're interested. Now, who the hell has the money to go to Australia and Japan for Japanese CPAC and Australian CPAC? So, anyways, he's no friend of the working man. But, again, CPAC is not for the poor or the working class people. All these students that did attend, they go to Georgetown U. They go to George Washington University, George Mason University. But we're coming on our first break on 7-5 Radio. Finish up with CPAC. And talk about other things. Sidwell Friends, Eagles in D.C., and other Democrats. This is 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, and you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back on 7-5 Radio talking about Conservative Incorporated, known as CPAC. As you well know, it's a very expensive venue held outside of Washington, D.C. And it's going on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now we're in the middle of the bad. Another thing I didn't like was the speakers. I mean, they had every Beltway insider, every talking head, every Fox News special contributor, just about every policy wonk on the right, or so-called right, or the conservative right, on there. You had Larry O'Connor, who was an absolute bore on WMIL here in D.C. He replaced Michael Savage because the station here in D.C. didn't allow Savage. You had Glenn Beck, another bore fest. You had Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator Ted Cruz. You had a whole bunch of, Michelle Malkin, who actually gave a rousing speech. But there's not a lot of people who really accomplished things or had a real job or, you know, really took the, was a hero either on the battlefield or in the streets of America. You know, it's all just people who wear a suit, wear TV makeup all day long and just talk about, you know, everything everybody else is talking about. This year's was socialism. I really like Mike Lindell and Rick Harrison because they have real jobs. I mean, if Pawn Stars was canceled and never seen on the History Channel again, guess what? Rick Harrison still has his pawn shop to run. He has a business. Another thing I didn't like was Van Jones. He was on a segment with ACU leader Matt Schlapp about criminal justice reform. I mean, he's the worst person to have on. I mean, first of all, he hates white people, and everybody there was white. You had any black person you saw was a speaker, and I'm not kidding about the one. Besides, what does Van Jones know about criminal justice reform? I don't think he was a lawyer, a prosecutor, or a jailer. I mean, there's a million other people more worthy to talk about criminal justice reform. I say have Michael Dowd on, Walt, have you on. The two of you know both sides of the criminal justice system. Had Jim Lancey on, who wrote a book on the current state of the criminal justice system. He's been a retired cop, and he's seen just things that would just make other people just gasp. Or have best-selling author and 29-year federal law enforcement officer Gary Byrne on. We had him on, and he knows law enforcement on the federal side. Or I have former Sheriff Richard Mack on, who actually fought the government all the way to the Supreme Court and won. Or have Sheriff David Clark or Joe Arpaio on, who ran very large counties. Sheriff Clark ran Milwaukee County, which encompasses Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Or Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who ran Maricopa County, Arizona, which encompassed Phoenix. And both of them had to run patrol unit, you know, cops in the street, more or less, and they had to run the jails. But nope, they had Van Jones on and Matt Schlapp. I don't think either one of them ever stepped in inside of a lockup. Another thing I didn't like was Israel. I don't know about you, Walt, but I'm sick and tired about people talking about Israel. I like to call CPAC APAC Light, the American Israeli Political Action Committee Conference Light. Even Diamond and Silk, who really tore that house down, they mentioned their support of Israel. I mean, my thing is, let Israel be Israel. Let, you know, stay out of their business. Let's have them stay out of our business. But everybody forgets that, A, Israel spies on us, and we spy on them. And also, in 1967, Israel purposely attacked the U.S. warship, the USS Liberty. But moving right along, another thing I did not hear was Blue Lives Matter. At CPAC, Blue Lives don't matter. I've heard more for Israel than for the men and women in blue. But hey, you know, cops are conservatives too, but they don't want to, they forget about that. I guess because Sheriff Clark was not there. Also, Joy Villa was there. She was at CPAC doing what she does best, promote Joy Villa. She wasn't a speaker. She wasn't on Radio Row. She's just going around meeting people, promoting herself. I was going to talk to her, but then I have nothing to talk about other than, like, why are you here? Why you just promote yourself? I mean, and then bring up the fact that she's a Scientologist and a Christian, so I call Bravo Sierra on that. Another thing was that there was not enough bandwidth at the at CPAC this year. Since there's so many people from Radio Row, you had to register your equipment, and since I showed up late last week, that's why I had to do it by telephone. But anyways, here's the ugly part of CPAC. CPAC actually pulled the media credentials for Laura Loomer. Laura Loomer, if anybody doesn't know, she's a real conservative. She's an activist for the right. She changed herself to the Twitter headquarters in New York because she's been banned, and for the fact that conservatives are banned. So anyways, for whatever reason, CPAC pulled her credentials for media, so she was shown the door. But I mean, CPAC is a private event, but there's no reason to ban her. I mean, every other Yahoo who hates America get media credentials, including Comedy Central, and including the gentleman from CNN that she was harassing because this guy was advocating kicking conservatives off of Twitter. Well, did you get a chance to watch or see any of CPAC activities this past week?
I saw, you know, stuff on the news, and they showed Mr. Trump giving his speech. And the well-renowned reception that he received when he came into the building, the way he spoke, the man knows what he's doing. You know, 3-4 years ago, nobody gave him a chance in hell because he speaks differently now. You know, he speaks a little bit differently now, more clear and concise. He's more. He educated himself about the job that he has, is basically what I'm trying to say. Anybody can become president. And in the land of opportunity, when you arrive, you need to be clear and concise. I shoot from the hip when I speak. And half the time people tell me they don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And Mr. Trump, I believe, was like that. He would speak from the hip. And now he's speaking a little more refined and making things clear. And he's so clear that that's why the Dems don't like him. The people on the left don't like him because he says exactly what he means. There is no interpretation. He says exactly what he means. And just those clips that I saw on the news, Fox News, I think it was, that I saw it on. I was impressed with the crowd that was there, the people that were there. And you know, I guess the camaraderie of the people that participated in this whole thing, whoever gets these people to be speakers, You know, black, white, green, orange, doesn't matter. They need to get people up there that know what they're talking about. You know, they speak about prison reform, but exactly what is their target? You know, you can't reform the entire system. The system is failing. That's why you have so many people going in a second time and a third time and then for life. So I don't know what the prison reform thing is going to accomplish, but we have to have more people that know what they're talking about when they go to these events. Like you said, the speakers that you mentioned earlier, like you said, they have no clue on what prison is like on the inside or being law enforcement looking at it from the outside. So it's an education that somebody has to acquire. It's like drinking wine. It's got to be acquired. It's got to be an acquired taste to know what you're talking about. I agree. It's got to be somebody.
Right. And same thing for use of military force. I mean, none of these people, except for the good lieutenant commander, know what it's like to go to basic training to shoot ammo downrange and to fight an enemy or fight somebody who was told this is your enemy or to be home 6, 9, 12, 15 months at a time. But anyways, we're coming on our next break. Coming up next, we got the very tolerant Sidwell Friend School. We also got Eagles in D.C., not the Philadelphia Eagles, but other Eagles. And the Democrats are doing what they do best, screw up this country. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Democrats have become an anti-Israel party.
President Trump commenting on the anti-hate resolution that the Democratic-held House passed yesterday, a resolution that began as a resolution to condemn anti-Semitism, aimed at Minnesota Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and her recent critical remarks about U.S. policy on Israel.
They've become an anti-Jewish party, and I thought that vote was a disgrace.
As he left the White House for a trip to Alabama to view tornado devastation, the president also said he was feeling badly about his former campaign chief, Paul Manafort, who was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison yesterday. He told reporters that Manafort's case had nothing to do with Russian collusion. Reports are a massive power outage has struck Venezuela, and the president, Maduro, is blaming it on the United States. And this is USA Radio News.
It is frozen food month as we turn the calendar into March, and there's so much that you can do with frozen foods.
There is so much innovation going on in the frozen food aisle. You're going to find foods in the frozen food aisle that line up with every consumer dining habit, health trend, special diet.
You know, I've got a real money-hungry audience. Could you tell them how they have a chance to enter a contest and win $10,000?
Absolutely. We've got that for them. So all the listeners out there can go visit easyhomemeals.com. And for National Frozen Food Month here in March, we've got $10,000 in prizes available. So all they've got to do is go to easyhomemeals.com and enter for their chance to win. easyhomemeals.com. And get out to their supermarkets and just take a stroll down the frozen food aisle and see what's new and exciting there.
The government says the U.S. economy created just around 20,000 jobs in the month of February. Economists had predicted we'd see about 180,000 jobs created. But the unemployment rate ticked down a bit and hourly earnings were up. Here's more on that part of the report from USA Radio's John Clemens.
That decline of 0.2 percentage points last month reflects a rate of 3.8% during February, meaning a decrease of 300,000 workers to 6.2 million. Eleni Kara-George of the Labor Department tells us about the different sectors of the economy.
Employment in professional and business services, healthcare,
and wholesale trade continued to trend up while construction employment decreased. Over the year, average hourly earnings rose 3.4%.
A Simpsons episode featuring Michael Jackson's voice is being pulled from syndication following controversy stemming from the Leaving Neverland documentary. And this is USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back to 7-5 Radio. We're going from CPAC to Sidwell Friends. Folks, Sidwell Friends is a very exclusive, very high price, very tolerant, very progressive private school that Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama sent their daughters to because they don't want to send their kids to failing inner city ghetto ass D.C. public schools because, frankly, they suck and they are run by the teachers' union. So Sidwell Friends, which costs a lot more than you and I can afford, is a very liberal, very tolerant, very compassionate school. Well, anyways, they have a computer program where students have usernames for testing or whatever. I guess sort of like a social media for Sidwell Friends. Well, a couple of super talent students decided to put swastikas as their usernames, and a couple other students decided to put racial epithets towards Asians and Indians at this very tolerant, very liberal academic place for higher learning. So needless to say, everybody is still the snowflakes at Sidwell Friends that teach there and also go there in the alumni, they're perplexed on why would people put swastikas, people would put racial epithets at this very notorious institution. Well, I say because simply kids are kids. They're going to do stuff, stupid stuff like that because, I mean, swastika has been around literally thousands of years. But since the National Socialists in Germany perverted it, you know, they're going to have some fun with it. And so, I mean, kids are going to be kids. You're going to, I'm surprised nobody used the N-word. But, of course, if they did put the N-word, then they'd have the FBI coming down and doing a federal investigation. Well, what's your take on people putting swastikas and racial epithets on the usernames at this very prestigious academy?
Well, you know, kids, you know, we were all kids once. And, yeah, I've done some stupid things. And kids are going to continue to do it. Our kids aren't sitting in front of Fox News and watching this garbage or MSNBC and watching this garbage. They're getting it from their teachers and stuff. And as far as the swastikas go or any kind of other kind of tagging as it's known throughout the gang or youth community, listen, it's a bunch of idiots running around there buying spray paint. The people that are selling the spray paint don't exactly have to think that these kids are going to be going home to spray their motorcycles or their bicycles or their lawn furniture. So, you know, that needs to be slowed down a little bit, you know, as far as spray paint goes. Anyway, but doing these stupid things, it's a symbol that's not well received. And it's not the only symbol that's not well received. And I think they do it just to get a rise out of what we used to call grown-ups. Remember when, he's a grown-up. You know, let's break his onions and see if we can get under their skin. It's an immature act of self-indulgence. And if you pay too much attention to it, they're going to do it again. If you make them understand that it's not acceptable or it's inappropriate, real American kids will most likely not do it anymore. Whoever's behind it, it is wrong. You know, you can't say the N-word. You can't use the swastika. There are other symbols out there, the upside-down crucifix and things like that. It's all, you know, not socially acceptable behavior to do this. And it's kids. So if you go to the home where it starts and educate or punish if you have to, then do it. you know, the millennial kids these days, well, the after millennial kids, because we're almost 20 years into the millennium, are just so far off base when it comes to education and just basic manners, you know. I get more fingers from kids driving around in their cars at 16 and 17 down here than I do from the normal road rage idiots. So it starts in the home. When it starts in the home and they're allowed to do what they want, you know, they just run amok. And then they get arrested and they say, oh, he was a good boy. Oh, she was a good girl. You know, she never did anything like that before. Well, they never got caught with anything like that before. So it's an issue, I think, starts from the home. But as far as it being a joke, you know, it's not funny to a lot of people. It's offensive. And people have rights to be offended by it. And I believe that it'll continue until it's kind of harnessed, I guess. You know, you can't stop it. You know, it's like the flow of drugs. You can't stop it. You can harness it a little bit. And every once in a while, I get a big load confiscated. But it's going to be all over. There's too many people in the world not to do this kind of stuff. So, and they're encouraged in school to do stuff like this. It is what it is. You can take it to heart, or you can let it, you know, get under your skin. It's entirely up to the person receiving the looking at the that stupid swastika.
Right. Well, speaking of go ahead.
No, I said I hope I cleared that up from my standpoint.
Right. Well, anyway, speaking of being offensive, the Democrats party are at it again. They do what they do best. In Maryland, a Democrat delegate called Prince George's County, Maryland, which is near my neck of the woods, the N-word, black town, but instead of black, using the N-word, she was censored. And then U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar constantly was denigrating Israel and saying anti-Semitic things. And so Congress had to pass a resolution to condemn Representative Omar, but they did not mention her name. Meanwhile, Representative Steve King, who said some things not as offensive or not even offensive at all, he's just telling the truth, he was also censured by the U.S. House of Representatives, but they used his name. But anyways, the people that didn't vote for the censure for whatever reason, probably because it's a free speech issue, they're being looked at as anti-Semites. And then Donald Trump, during news break, said that the Democrat is the anti-Israel party and the anti-Jewish party. I mean, here's the thing. I don't agree with Ms. Omar. I think she's an enemy of America, but she does have the right to free speech. But, you know, what I never hear is when Congress or any politician denigrates whites, males, conservatives, military, GIs. Or if you remember, what's his name, John Murtha, that fat piece of crap from Pennsylvania, said that Marines were shooting innocent civilians in cold blood. John Kerry talking about the melee massacre that didn't happen. No apologies, cries for removal from office. But this Ms. Omar, she says some crazy off the wall things, and she's put out the pasture. And then people who say, you know what, I don't want to vote for it because it's some stupid legislation, they're also denigrated. But anyways, while that's going on, what I notice is that the media, they always have a sleight of hand. Now, here in D.C., the local media is making a huge to-do about some bald eagles at the D.C. Police Academy. Somebody put a webcam at this nest, and one of the eagles laying eggs. The other one's leaving and coming back, and two male eagles are fighting other female eagles, and some raccoon was ate the eggs. I mean, just it's a drama, and the morning – the local news media here is making a huge deal about it because, I mean, it's a human interest story. But at the same time, in West Virginia, the state spent $87 million to build brand-new housing for 300-plus Syrian Muslim refugees. So that's how the media works, including its Fox affiliates. You got some stupid bald eagles doing what bald eagles do. And then, meanwhile, you have taxpayer money going towards building housing for these more Muslim refugees who have absolutely no job skills, who have no language skills, who bring absolutely nothing to America. I mean, in Minnesota, that's how Ms. Omar got her job, because of all these Somali refugees. And if you go to Minneapolis, they call it Little Mogadishu. It's not like Chinatown. It's not like Little Italy or these other little ethnic enclaves. It's just pure garbage. I mean, if you remember the movie Black Hawk Down, you know, that's Mogadishu in a nutshell. I mean, the producers of Black Hawk Down try to make it as real as possible. But anyways, we're coming on to our last break before the end of the show. Coming up, we'll talk about Saturday Night Live and whatever else is on our mind. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we're back. I just love that intro, Starship Trooper, but of course, James Edwards had to screw it up. But anyways, one other Democrat made the news, of course, is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who everybody talks about all day, every day, including the New York media. But, you know, the congressional delegation here in Northern Virginia, we don't hear a peep from, but they're awful, too. But anyways, a private think tank, political think tank, filed a lawsuit with or filed notice with the Federal Election Commission because Ms. Ocasio-Cortez's campaign funneled over $800,000 of campaign funds to a political action committee and then to a private company for what they call strategic consulting. Also, with Ms. Cortez, she's all in for the Green New Deal, which they get rid of cars, get rid of airplanes, and then everybody has to use government rail. But she spent over $20,000 for Uber, Lyft, and other ride-sharing services, despite being a having a subway station just blocks away, and also for refusal for using New York City Medallion cabs. Now, a New York City Medallion cab, first of all, the cab, the Medallion itself is over $400,000 paid yearly to the city of New York. The cab has to be a certain color. The cab has to be inspected numerous times a year. Cab is subject to spot inspections. The cab driver has to be licensed and registered with the Taxi and Limousine Commission. But Ms. Ocasio-Cortez decided to, her campaign decided to use just go online and just get some guy, random guy who, random independent contractor to drive her to places. Well, do you see any hypocrisy with the Ms. Ocasio-Cortez in her actions?
Yeah, of course. You know, from day one. You know, probably from the time she was a barmaid.
Right.
You know, she went through. You know, it's just it's hard to talk about because you know she seems so whacked out. And what I mean by whacked out is she's all over the place. You know, one minute she's you know, speaking, and then she opens up her mouth with the Mr. Red Teeth and grits them at everybody. I don't know if she's trying to make people afraid of her, because she's certainly not getting anybody's respect, not even from her own party. She has nothing right to say. Everything she says is, you know, and no offense to the California girls out there, you know, in the Beach Boys song, but she talks like a Valley girl and or dumb blonde cheerleader, and I hate to make that stereotype because I like cheerleaders, but this woman, she has no identity of her own. She's speaking in past, how can I say, phrases. She's using a lot of stuff that was said a long time ago that's already been dismissed. You know, coming up with these ideas. You know how I feel about the cow farting. You know, I drive through farmland every day, and let me tell you something. I'd rather smell cow manure than the crap she's putting out.
Right. But yeah. Anyways, I heard somebody on the radio, I think it was Chris Plant, who's syndicated on Cumulus, said that blondes are now making Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez jokes. She's such an idiot. So, anyways, well, finally, let's get something real meat and potatoes. Saturday Night Live. This show has been on the air for almost 45 years.
Since 1975.
Right. Right. And, I mean, the people that came out of that show, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Garrett Morris, Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo, Will Ferrell, Adam Sandler, David Spade, Dennis Miller, Norm Macdonald, Kevin Nealon, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And a lot of its stuff was funny. And for the past 30 years, they've always been calling it Saturday Night Dead because of whatever reason. Because people always want to go back to the original year. But guess what? You don't want to have 70-year-old people, you know, out, you know, doing comedy. But recently, I get home late Saturday nights from my job and Ubering, and I turn on the TV, and there's Saturday Night Live. But lately, it's just been just god awful. I mean, the only thing keeping afloat is Alec Baldwin doing Donald Trump impressions. I mean, the people that do the Weekend Update, they're terrible. Leslie Jones, she's the angry black woman. She looks like a dude. She's terrible. I mean, the only good cast member they got is Kenan Thompson, who's funny, but it's just. And it's just all anti-Trump, all politically correct, and just absolute garbage. I mean, the thing about Saturday Night Live back in the day, it took risk, and it went after both sides, the left and the right. Well, what's your take on the current state of Saturday Night Live?
The only thing I could speak about is the old days of Saturday Night Live, because that show was, you know, it was a breaking show that, like you said, it went both sides of the political border. You had Chevy Chase falling down every week, you know, and then live from New York. That was Jerry Ford, period. But he didn't dress like him. You know, it was just a satirical comedy on the goings-on of the day in that period. These days, I mean, they're outright attacking. I mean, these are real attacks on Donald Trump. Then you had Tina Fey, 10 years ago on doing the what's her name, Sarah Palin. You know, it was just awful. You know, when you attempt to destroy a person's life, you know, that's, you know, that gets to be like almost criminal. You know, you can't do that kind of stuff. It's just wrong. I don't have a problem with Alec Baldwin impersonating Donald Trump. What I have a problem with is the way he does it. People have been impersonating presidents for 100 years, you know, since social media started. And I'm talking about radio and stuff like that. You know, people have been doing it for 100 years. And it's always been tasteful. Now, Jesus, you know, you want to change the channel. Unless you're a bleeding heart idiot who enjoys that type of attempt at humor. So I would make fun of both sides, and it would be satirical. It wouldn't be, you know, direct insults. And, you know, and the rest of the world, I always say this, the rest of the world is laughing at us. We insult our president to the point where they threaten the life of his child. You remember the Peter Fonda thing? And, you know, it just...
Right.
And Alec Baldwin, you know, he's washed up. Ever since Kim Basinger divorced him, he's been washed up. He's been hanging on, and he hasn't done much of anything. I'm not impressed by him. By the way, he's from Massapequa. Him and his brothers are all from Massapequa, Long Island. So when you go through Massapequa, you know, spit out the window. There's a good chance you might hit their house. So,
right. Well, I like Adam Baldwin. He's a total opposite of his brother. He's actually has some class and is a conservative, and he probably admits he's a conservative. That's why we haven't seen him in any film or television in the past couple of years. But anyways,
Saturday Night Live, that's for sure.
Right. But it's just, I mean, they also had a writer, some unfunny writer actually said, if somebody attacks a conservative, she'll perform, you know, a sex act on them. She put it on Twitter. And we all know that's not going to happen. If I go up and assault a member of the first family, you know, and I say, hey, you know, I go up to her and she's going to say, get away from you, creep. So, but she wants to get some recognition. I forgot the girl's name's not important, but hopefully she'll be out of job soon, because I mean, this show is just limping to 45 years. So hopefully on their 45th anniversary, they get all the old cast members and have a great show like they did on their 40th. But Walt, you got anything in the wheelhouse before we sign off for another great week of 7.5 Radio?
Well, you know, not a whole lot. The headlines of the latter part of this past week, you know, Manafort got sentenced to, I believe, 4 years in jail for his nonsense. You know, it's like clear and cut that there's no collusion between Mr. Trump and the Russians and stuff like that. But yet, you know, every couple of weeks that pops up and it goes on and on and on. You got Michael Cohen testifying earlier this week about Mr. Trump and what he paid off people to leave Mr. Trump alone. You know, like Stormy Daniels' name popped up again. We are so close to the 2020 election. People just don't realize how close we are. And it looks pretty miserable for, you know, the liberal side of things. So my prediction, of course, is going to be Mr. Trump. Should he choose to run in 2020, we'll win. Beyond that, if Mr. Trump chooses not to run, I believe there's going to be a Republican in the White House anyway. It may not be Mr. Pence, but there will be a Republican in the White House.
Right.
That just about wraps it up for me this week. I had a lot going on, so I didn't have to do the show. And I guess that's the end of our show. I want to say goodbye and have my friend, Peter Stanton, take a nap.
All right, well, another Sunfire Radio show in the can. This is Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew signing off. Be safe out there. Shoot straight. Just remember, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Take it away, Mr. Edwards and boys.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.